Amen. I'd like to read one more verse this evening, and it's from John chapter 1, verse 14, and it says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, Christmas is this very wonderful, this very special time that we celebrate together. And surely, I would imagine it at your home, perhaps you might have some things like this around, beautifully wrapped packages. And my children can't get enough of looking at packages like this. It's neatly wrapped and it has colorful paper and it looks nice and it's pleasing to the eye. But imagine if this is all we looked at. Imagine if year-round we would have packages like this wrapped, but we would never see what was inside. Create a longing, wouldn't it, within us? What's inside of that package? What lies underneath? Well, this is just the way the feeling was in Israel at the time of the coming of Jesus. There was this great fervor. The scriptures had long foretold of the coming Savior of the world, the one who would deliver us from our bondage, from our sin, the one who would usher us into his glorious kingdom, the one who would bring us into the life for which we were originally created to live. And so we have this story of Jesus, where it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And we ask the question, why did he do it? Why did he do it? If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 4, it's really a remarkable chapter. You get this picture of the very throne room of God. In this grand and glorious throne room, there is the Lamb of God. He is seated on the throne. And around him are 24 elders. And there is in that amazing place the sea of glass. It is foreboding for the ancient Israelites. They looked at the sea very differently than we look at the sea. They looked at it as a dangerous place, sometimes a scary place, sometimes an off-putting place. They loved the land. They didn't like the sea. And it says that there's a sea of glass there, and that there are rumblings, and that there's thunder, and there's peals of lightning in this place. You can imagine this great king who is there. There are living creatures around the throne. In fact, as we read the scriptures, these four living creatures say day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." In fact, when the elders hear these words, they take these crowns that they have and they cast them down. And then they cry out antiphonally, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." Think about this awesome picture that we have of Jesus. He is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of the universe. All things were made to serve him. All things were made that their highest joy would be in serving him. Here he is, the great king of the universe, and we ask the question, why did he come? Why did he come? Why would he do it? This word here for dwelt is actually a word that could be translated tabernacled. In the Old Testament, God made, he gave his people this instruction to build a tabernacle where his glory might be located. And so the children of Israel built this tabernacle, and wherever the children of Israel went, this tabernacle went with them, and the glory of God shone in that tabernacle. And then there came a time in which God condescended and allowed his people to build for him a temple in Jerusalem. And that temple in Jerusalem, once it was built and completed under King Solomon's reign, the Ark of the Covenant was installed. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, "And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." This picture of Jesus coming and tabernacling amongst us is the picture of God Himself taking on flesh and dwelling among us. But we ask the question, why would He do this? Why would He do this? Why would He come? Tomorrow, most of us, I think, are probably going to have a Christmas meal. How many of you are going to have a Christmas meal tomorrow? Hopefully. I mean, you're going to have a meal, we know, but... all right. So when you have this Christmas meal tomorrow, how many of you are going to have ham? Okay. All right. How many of you are going to have turkey? How many of you are going to have beef? When you have the ham, you have the beef, you have the turkey, as you're eating it, I don't want to sound morbid here, but you have to remember, as you're eating that, something had to die before you could eat that, right? That's pretty morbid for Christmas Eve. But there's a point to it, and hopefully you won't feel that way at the end of this point. The reason why something had to die for us to eat this is because the only way that we can live is if something dies for us. Is that right? For those of you who are sitting there saying, well, I'm a vegetarian, so that piece of lettuce, it had to die too. You see, the only way that we can live is if something has to die for us. We cannot live unless something else dies. In fact, if we decide that we're going to go on a no-death diet, then we'll be the ones who will die. Right? Does that make sense? Why did Jesus come? Well, He knew it was either Him or it was us. It was either Him who would have to die so that we could have life, or He could stay in His glorious abode in heaven and remain as He was, and we would die in our sins. You see, in order to have life, someone must die. And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus came into the world, when He was born a baby, when He took on flesh, when He took on the fullness of humanity, fully God, fully man, one person, when He did that, it was because He made a decision that He would die in our place, that He would die in our stead, so that we might live. You see, when Jesus came, it was like the prophets had foretold of this one who would come, and then all of a sudden, the package came, and the package was open, and we see this glorious one that had been given from above. God gave His Son for us to die in our place, that we might live. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Do you know the Savior? Have you entered a relationship with Him? Have you experienced what it is to know that He gave His life for you? The Bible says that you can have a relationship with Him, and it can start tonight if you trust Him as your Savior. Let's pray.